Welcome. Today, I'm so happy to have you listening to our broadcast. Before I start, I want to make an announcement. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the calls, prayer requests, cards of encouragement, and for your gifts. I also want to share with you that we have a post office box 531. Post office box 531, Eagle River. Some of you have been putting the street address, and we have gotten it, but this way it'll be more sure. Shall we open our Bibles as we read our lesson for today, found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Beginning in verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, even as we begin this message, we pray for your presence to be with each one who's listening. I pray for clarity of mind and speech as I give it forth, and Lord, that your word truly might live and encourage us and strengthen us as we look forward to that time when we can come to be with you. Bless this word, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. As I was studying for this message, I went over these portions of Scripture and settled on Ephesians 2 as a portion of Scripture that I can work out from. Last week we discussed the Lord's Supper, the Passover and the Lord's Supper, and his death. And if you remember from 1 Corinthians 11, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then this special one, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" And the 2 points that we encouraged you to remember was remembering what God had done and the price that Jesus paid, and then valuing it, making it important in our lives. And we'll explain that a little bit more as we go along. "For," he continued on, "for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, this is Resurrection Sunday, and we're looking forward. The title today is Resurrection Blessings, and we'll look at all the blessings that we get from Christ's resurrection. Paul tells us that what hope would there be if he hadn't risen? why it was so important that he rise, even though it was his death and the shed blood that saved us. We remember last week when we introduced this, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, it was during the Passover, and at the end, Jesus said to them, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." I was excited as I read some of these things. And remember last week we went to Isaiah 25:6, when I believe that this is when he drinks this cup with us in the Father's kingdom. And this says, in this mountain of the Lord of hosts, I will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines, well-refined wines. And I brought out that I believe we will be able to eat and drink in our resurrected bodies. I mentioned no more supplements, perfect digestion. And of course, we confirmed it in Luke 24:41, when Jesus came into the midst of his disciples. They were gathered together, and they had two of them, ones on the road to Emmaus, had seen the Lord, and then he disappeared from them, and they came back all 7 miles, and the women had seen them, and they were talking, and then suddenly Jesus appears in their midst. And in the conversation, he says, "Have you any food here?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And this was on the mountain. And of course, that's confirmed pretty much throughout the word that they were going to eat together. We have several places where that's given. And so as I was studying this week on the lesson that we have for today, thinking of the excitement that's going to be in heaven when these things take place, I can't tell you how much it's been impressed upon my mind. Now, as we came to today's lesson entitled Resurrection Blessings, and as we begin our chapter 2, we find that this is the center of, in chapter 1 and 2, these chapters are many times given us to see all the blessings that we have in Christ. And sometimes they're listed. I am saved, I am chosen, I have been adopted and so forth, accepted in the beloved, but this day I would like to do something a little different and put the focus where it belongs on what God has done. Not all what I have, but what God has done. The difference being, as we look at Israel in particular, if they would have put their focus on God's deliverance of them instead of themselves on being free as they went through the wilderness, it wasn't long before they forgot about God's work at all. And this was very disappointing to God the Father. If only they would have recognized what he did. Constantly he had to say, "I am the only one." And it wasn't long before they had drifted off and were making idols, molding them, carving them. Idols that they had to carry, that they had to sit down someplace, and they'd fall over and couldn't see and couldn't hear when they had a living God. Well, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, leading and guiding us, and yet many times we are somewhat the same way in forgetting who he is and letting other things come into our lives and take the place of God Almighty. Now, leaving off the first phrase, "You hath he made alive," we're going to look at chapter 2 and begin to go into it now on these resurrection blessings. First of all, it says, "And you," and we'll skip that next phrase, who were dead in trespasses and sin, having no hope, dead, having no hope at all. This is what we were, or what we are. About 7 months ago plus, I gave the challenge, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. That plea still goes out for everyone who listens, because as we look at this and see what we have in Christ from God the Father, my passion is that all of us are in Christ. Apart from this, we'll be like the Israelites who wandered and because of unbelief never entered in. Let's look at how dead we are. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath as others. As we want to get a better picture of where we really are, I'd like to turn to Romans 3, because this tells us that we have no power whatsoever. Romans 3, I'm going to read from verses 10 through 18. We've read this many times, but before we start out at what we have in Christ, I want to make sure that we've looked at our own lives to see if we are in Christ. And if we aren't, it's time to look to the Lord, to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that we're sinners and we need a Savior, we need our sins forgiven. We need to have a work within us where we're changed. You'll see what happens. There is none righteous, it says in verse 10, no, not one. There is none who understands. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness. Neither can he know them, because they're only by the Holy Spirit discerned. There is none who seeks after God. Remember these facts, those two especially. There is none of us who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. There may be some who are saying right now as you listen to this, well, I've been going to church almost since I've been a kid. I've grown up in the church. That doesn't make us a Christian. The thing that has to happen is that God has to deal with us, and we have to have a meeting with him, and through Jesus Christ, accept him, believe in him, and allow him to change us, to ask forgiveness. Going back to Romans 3, their throat is an open tomb or grave. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps was under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That describes the natural man who has not received Jesus Christ, who has not had a work done in his life. Now, as we see, all of us have been there. Some of us may still be there, and this is what we want to make sure of, that those who are listening, if they have not received Christ, look to him even today. We come to the place, it says, but God. Now here there's a change. But God, and you'll notice the superlatives that are used when God is talked about. He is rich in mercy. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, something happens here as we look at God who loves us. He's rich in mercy, ready to forgive. Even when, verse 5, we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I want to bring something out. There is a verse that's found in, don't turn, but you can mark it down. I'm going to read it. Matthew 13:45, just one verse. This is describing a parable that Jesus tells, and it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want us to see where we are in God's sight. There are several things that I'll bring out today that are probably new to some of you, but this merchant and this pearl of great price, we must identify, or this parable means nothing. We've just gotten through reading in Romans that there's none that understands and there's none who seeks God. So as Jesus is giving this parable about the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, it can't be us seeking God. Please take time, take a moment, just reflect upon that, because we've just been told by Paul that none of us seeks God. We're dead. We just read now, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We're in bondage because of the prince of the air, which is Satan. And we follow his course and the course of this world in which he reigns supreme, and even more so in the time in which we're living. And so we have what I'd like to share with you. We have God seeking us. We don't seek him. We have no way to seek him. We have God seeking us. And when he had found one pearl of great price, now many say, well, a pearl of great price has to be the Lord. No, the pearl of great price is the body, is the church, are the elect that he has chosen. He has sought them, he has found them, he's chosen them, and we'll see that as we look a little bit further. We are precious in the sight of God. Now that brings up some responsibility on the part of those who are Christians. Remember, we are taught to remember what he has done, remember the death of Christ, remember his what he went through in order that he could redeem us. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, it says in Hebrews 10:14. And he went through tremendous amounts of pain and suffering, and yet the greatest was not the physical, but was the spiritual, when he was separated from his Father and he had to call out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Keep this in mind, that God has sought us and he has bought us. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He paid a price for us. This is so important. Now as we go on to verse 6, and back in Ephesians 2, he's raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us again in Colossians 1:13, he gives thanks to the Father who has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan, and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, or his Son of his love, or his beloved Son. We know that as he has lifted us up, even today in this world, we are operating from a different perspective because we've been caught up to see things differently. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us vision. And so we see things differently than what we used to as an unbeliever. Then we were dead. We were blind. We had no knowledge. Pitiful state. Now, I'd like you to go back and think with me for a few minutes of before the world began. And it was decided by the triune God, not because they needed anything, but that they would create the world. God was very precise. Morning and evening and so forth. 6 days he worked and spoke things into existence. 7th day he rested. Now all of this culminated when Jesus went to the cross and died. Why did he rise again? In 1 Peter 1, I think it's verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has given unto us a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He has given us hope. He needed to die, but he had given us hope by his resurrection. This was the event of the millenniums that have taken place and one left yet to come. We know that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the world. It gave us hope. And as we look at his love for us, we are the pearl of great price that he sought for. And when he had found it, he gave all he had, his son, and bought us with the blood of Jesus. We have been purchased. And his sacrifice was accepted by the Father as he rose again. Then we come to verse 7, and this was really my message, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I'm looking in the ages to come. Last week we talked about what's going to happen and how the marriage takes place in heaven, and then we come to earth and have the marriage supper. It says, "Blessed are those who invited." We know the bride is with him. We don't need to be invited. But there will be those on earth that come in. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the ages to come, what else do we want to learn about this? I'm going to take a few minutes looking at Ephesians 1. We'll just go back. Most of you will have it almost on the same page. I'm going to begin with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." It's God who's doing the blessing. Just as Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Both of them give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's through Jesus that we receive these blessings. And then we go on to see he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, back to Ephesians 1 now. And verse 4, "Just as he, God the Father, chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're going to find that those that God has, Paul tells us in Colossians 1:12, Paul gives thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He's qualified us. There is something that happens in the life of a Christian. There's a walk to be walked, a race to be run, a battle to be fought. It's said in many different ways, but the life of a Christian is one of action. It's one that as he saves us, we recognize that we've been changed. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. God is the one that chose us in Christ. Back to verse 4 of Ephesians 2, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, to God the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will. God has adopted us as his sons. We're going to see that and how important it is in part 2 of this series next week of what God has done and other blessings that he's given us that many times we aren't aware of. But he has adopted us, predestined us. That means it's going to happen. To adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus paid the price not only for the sins in the new covenant, but also for those in the old covenant. They were covered by the blood of animals, but never taken away. And now he has imputed his righteousness to us, and our sins are imputed to him or put upon him. He has done this according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has made us accepted in the beloved in Christ Jesus. This is so beautiful. I pray that as we go over this, that your hearts are touched by it to see what God has done. Now, I would like to go through. He was in verse 7 through 14, we find that we have been redeemed in Christ through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now I'm going to skip down. We are chosen by the Father, we are redeemed by the Son. And then Paul prays for revelation. And begins in verse 15 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. And he says, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to this next part. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the true hope of his calling, God the Father's calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, God's inheritance, in the saints. We are God's inheritance. And that just somewhat blows my mind. And yet it's given. We are adopted by God. We are the pearl of great price. He has sought us out. He has bought us. We are his. We are his. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. There's some exciting things that are true here. We find that in Revelation 2 and 3, I'm going to bring this out because I was so excited as I found it. We have messages to the seven churches. And Jesus says to them who overcome, he gives a reward, Jesus does. And he'll say to those who overcome in the one church, I will grant you to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat on my Father's throne. Now, seven times Jesus gives those, he who overcomes, I will, and there will be something that we will receive as a reward. But in Revelation 21, it's God the Father. And he says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his Father, and he will be my Son. Now, we're going to, next week, talk about that blessing, because that's another part of the blessing that we receive as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A blessing that will come in the future, not necessarily right now, but a blessing that will come in the future. As we reflect on these things that God has done for us, I truly pray that you might be encouraged. I know we've skipped around a lot. I want to go back to this same portion and read these same 10 verses because there's so much in them. They're the center of history. God's allowing his Son to be crucified as he went to the cross and died, was buried. After 3 days, he arose again. And because he lives, we too can live. That is the center of the whole Bible. Apart from that event, apart from that 3.5 years that Jesus was on earth here and went to the cross and died for us, the rest of the Bible wouldn't be. But because Jesus was willing to go to the cross, because the Father and the Son work together and are one, and that's what they want for us. We are so scattered, but they want us to all be one, even as the Father and the Son are one, that we might be one in them. I pray that God will bless you as you reflect on these thoughts. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can have together, even if it's over the air. Father, I pray that you would bless each one who has listened. And as they reflect about your greatness and how we rank in your sight, and truly that you have a path for us, you have a purpose for us. We are called according to your purpose. And Lord, as we look a little bit at your purpose for us, but as we've seen today of your great love in choosing us out and working with us and the rewards that we're going to have, I just pray we might be excited. I pray that we love you because you have told us we love you because you first loved us. We know that's true. We were dead, we were worthless, and we had nothing and no hope until you've come into our lives. If there's anybody that does not know you, may they take this time to look to you, Lord, and come to know you and have their sins forgiven, to have a meeting with you. Dismiss us now, Lord, with the fullness of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.